appeal of subdivision number 2005-56, Reynolds Pond LLC. This time I'll turn the proceedings over to our legal counsel, Jim Griffin.
This is the time and place.
Good night.
This is the time and place for consideration of a decision on the appeal in subdivision 2005-56, Reynolds Pond LLC. Is there any discussion council may wish to have on this matter at this time?
Do you want to give a clarification of actually what type of vote we're taking here? So if anybody's out there who doesn't understand it, will understand it maybe better, or be more confused.
Well, this was an appeal under the subdivision appeal ordinance. The Planning and Zoning Commission denied the approval of the preliminary plat. And the applicant had a right to appeal under the subdivision appeal ordinance, and that's why it's before us. If you decide to approve it, you would be adopting a resolution to grant preliminary approval, which means approval of their preliminary plat, subject to any conditions that you impose on the approval under the cluster option. If your decision is the same as the decision of the commission, then the vote would be not to adopt a resolution. So essentially, that's where we are in terms of legal posture.
We're still acting as an appellate.
It's an appeal under the subdivision appeal provision.
Mr. Dukes?
We always, when we receive something from planning and zoning and they recommend a denial, they never send us any findings or conditions for support. And always in the past, we've always asked our attorney or our staff, someone to give us reasons of support in case we overturn or we disagree with the appeal or the recommendation of planning and zoning. So that is what has happened with Isaac's Glen or Reynolds Pond LLC. I think Mr. Phillips suggested that we need to have some findings of the subdivision and also some conditions. So with that, I move that we adopt a resolution to grant preliminary approval to Reynolds Pond LLC for Isaac's Glen Cluster Subdivision number 2005-56, based upon the public records created before the commission and the council, based upon the following findings and conditions, which I will now ask Mr. Griffin to read into the records. Rather lengthy, so he'll be a few minutes reading them. Mr. Griffin.
Under this first heading are findings. Number one, with the conditions imposed on this approval, the development will be designed in accordance with both the subdivision ordinance and the cluster development option. Number two, the cluster design as modified by the developer and with the conditions imposed herein is superior to a standard subdivision, with approximately 50% of the project remaining as open space, which includes approximately 43% of the site to be used as accessible common areas or recreational areas. In addition, under the modified cluster design, the developer will be able to provide an open space corridor along Route 30 and greater buffering from wetlands, streams, and ponds. The modified cluster design will allow the creation of several smaller neighborhood areas that will be separated from one another by open space, yet controlled and managed by a common homeowners association. Under the modified cluster design, many of the lots will back up to open space instead of the backyards of other lots. And the modified cluster design will allow the developer to maintain 80% or 122 acres of the existing forested areas. Number three, the development is consistent with the trend of single-family residential development in the area. Other residential developments are located just north of the site at Jefferson's Crossroads and west and east of the site, such as Windancer, Prestwick, Sandstone, Hummingbird Meadows, and Captain's Way, which are also in level four areas on the state's policies and spending map. Number four, the development will comply with all agricultural use requirements including buffers, setbacks, and agricultural use deed restriction. Number five, the developer has taken steps to protect adjacent agricultural preservation districts by locating lots away from the common boundaries with those lands. Number six, the development will be served by central water and sewer systems operated by a publicly regulated utility. Number seven, the development's location provides efficient access to Route 1 and Route 16, which are major roadways, as well as access to shopping areas in Milton. All entrance and off-site roadway improvements required by DLDOT will be the developer's responsibility. Number eight, the developer will be responsible for construction of all water and sewer utility systems, and sewer utilities will be designed and constructed to comply with the county and DNREC standards. Number nine, the development is consistent with the uses permitted in the low-density area of the 2002 Sussex County Land Use Plan update as certified by the state and the purpose of the AR1 zoning district, which permits residential development. Number 10, the items listed in Section 99-9C of the subdivision ordinance have been favorably addressed in that A, the cluster subdivision will be integrated into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape with the maintenance of large areas of open space, trees, and buffer areas. B, there will be no use or impact on wetlands, as no lots will contain any wetlands or be located within floodplains. C, existing natural features will be largely preserved through the use of buffers and open space. Additional natural areas will be created through approximately 54 acres of new lakes created on the property. According to the state, there are no significant historical or natural features on the site. D, the cluster design option will allow the preservation of a significant amount of open space and will create scenic views of Reynolds Pond and other open space areas and the lakes to be created in the subdivision. E, the developer will provide assurances that tree, vegetation, and soil removal will be minimal and enhanced through additional landscape features. F, potentially objectionable features such as homes adjacent to public roads will be minimized as they will be screened from neighboring property and roadways. This includes an open space corridor along Route 30 and screening from utility areas. Also, buffering will be provided between adjacent agricultural preservation districts and any of the proposed lots. G, the subdivision will be served by private central water and sewer designed and constructed to county and DNREC standards and requirements. H, through the establishment of an extensive stormwater management plan, erosion and sedimentation and pollution of surface and groundwater will be minimized on the site. In addition, any potential impacts on Reynolds Pond will be positive in that runoff from the present agricultural uses of the site will be eliminated and all lots will be set back from the pond by generous buffer areas. I, subject to DLDOT's approval, the applicant will provide for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and onto connecting public roads. Route 30, which is designated as a truck route, has been addressed through only one proposed entrance into the project from Route 30 and with the open space corridor on both sides of the road. J, the area property values will not be decreased and may be increased by the development of the project. K, the project will have a positive effect on the schools by generating economic benefits in the form of property taxes for the school district where the project is located. At the same time, the expected demographic of the purchasers within the project is not expected to create a burden from the number of pupils projected to attend the local school district. L, the developer's traffic impact study indicates that there will not be an adverse effect on area roadways and public transportation, and all required upgrades to the area roadways will be provided at the developer's expense in accordance with DLDOT's requirements. M, the project will be compatible with other area land uses, including existing residential developments in the general vicinity. In addition, the project has been designed to minimize any adverse impacts on properties that are directly adjacent to it. N, the project will not adversely affect area waterways as a result of the buffering that has been provided from all wetlands and Reynolds Pond. In addition, surface and stormwater will be contained and treated on site through the project's extensive stormwater management plan. Number 11, the development will provide extensive active and passive recreational uses, including swimming pools, basketball, and tennis courts, fields for softball and soccer, an exercise facility, a multi-use building, a community center, numerous parks, miles of multi-use trails, equestrian facility, and sidewalks and street lighting. Number 12, the development is designed to minimize environmental impacts. In addition to central water and sewer systems, stormwater management facilities will be designed and operated in accordance with all county ordinances, DENREC regulations, and will utilize best management practices. Significant buffers will be provided from all wetland areas, and no wetland areas will be located within lot lines, and extensive areas of existing woodlands will be preserved. 13, the developers agreed to phase the build out of the project, which will further integrate the project into the area without significant negative effects. 14, the project with a single homeowners association managing the entire project, including open areas, amenities, stormwater management areas, streets, and sidewalks, is superior to several smaller unrelated and separate subdivisions of the same property. 15, while the state's comment concerning the level 4 designation has been considered, it is overcome by the fact that the project complies with the county land use plan update that was reviewed and approved by the state, and it will comply with all county ordinances. 16, the project with the stipulations and conditions placed on it will not adversely impact the county, the neighborhood, or adjacent properties. In approving the preliminary cluster subdivision plan, council is aware of and responds to the concerns that earlier motivated the commission to deny preliminary approval as follows. First, although the site is not within a designated development district, it is zoned AR1, where low-density single-family residential subdivision with a cluster option is a permitted use. Two, although the site is in an investment level 4 area according to the strategies for state policies and spending, where the state does not plan to provide infrastructure funding or additional public services, that state policy should not be used as a basis for denial if a project otherwise complies with the county subdivision ordinance in effect at the time the application was considered by the commission. Number 3, although Route 30 is a designated truck route and is also used for the passage of agricultural equipment, and approval may result in increased traffic on area roadways, the on and off-site roadway improvements that will be funded by the developer, as approved by DLDOT, will accommodate all of these concerns, and if DLDOT does not approve the proposed relocation of Hummingbird and Biteman Roads, the developer will be required to go back to the commission for additional site plan review. Number 4, although some neighboring properties have been placed in agricultural preservation, the approval of the subdivision will not prevent those neighboring properties from continuing in agricultural preservation and will not prevent the owners of other neighboring properties from placing their properties in agricultural preservation. Now to the conditions. This preliminary approval is subject to the following conditions. A, the preliminary approval is conditioned upon DLDOT's approval of the relocation of Hummingbird Road and Biteman Road in accordance with the conditions set forth in DLDOT's letter dated January 6, 2005, reviewing the traffic impact study and any additional conditions imposed by DLDOT. If DLDOT prohibits the alteration of these roads, the applicant must submit a revised preliminary site plan for consideration by the Planning and Zoning Commission at a public meeting on the agenda under old business. B, the maximum number of single family lots shall not exceed 1,630. C, the construction of the project shall be phased over a period of 10 years with no more than 160 certificates of occupancy being issued within any given calendar year, except during the 10th and final year. D, the final site plan review by the Planning and Zoning Commission shall be required for each phase of the development. Each phase's final site plan shall show all forested areas, shall include a landscape plan prepared by a landscape architect or a certified arborist. E, an underground gas storage facility providing service only to the project shall be permitted subject to the approval of the Office of the State Fire Marshal and all other agencies with jurisdiction and subject to site plan review and approval by the commission. The facility shall be no less than 100 feet from the boundary of any residential lot. F, the interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements. Street design shall include sidewalks, both sides of the street, curbing and street lighting shall be shown on the final site plan. G, all entrances, intersections, roadway improvements, and multimodal facilities required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant as required by DLDOT within the time period required by DLDOT. H, the core recreation areas consisting of the multi-use facility hall, community center, swimming pools, 3 basketball courts, 3 tennis courts, softball, baseball field, equestrian facility, soccer, lacrosse field, parks and trails shall be constructed and open to use by residents in accordance with the following schedule. First, pool and tennis courts by issuance of the 150th certificate of occupancy. Pool complex by issuance of the 300th certificate of occupancy. Equestrian facility, sports fields, basketball, tennis courts by issuance of the 400th certificate of occupancy. Multi-use village hall by issuance of the 600th certificate of occupancy. Trails, paths, parks, and lakes as each phase is built. Subdivision shall be served by a state-regulated on-site central sewer system as defined by the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance and designed and constructed in accordance with County Engineering Department Ordinance 38 specifications and in conformity with all DENREC regulations. The operation of the central sewer system shall be subject to Delaware Public Service Commission and all applicable state and county regulations. J, the subdivision shall be served by a publicly regulated water system providing drinking water and fire protections may be required by applicable state regulations then in effect. K, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with all applicable state and county requirements. The applicant, its successors, and assigned shall operate the stormwater management facilities utilizing best management practices to provide positive groundwater recharge. L, state and federal wetlands shall not be included within any individual lot line. Wetlands should be maintained as non-disturbance areas except where authorized by federal and state permits. As proposed by the developer, no home shall be constructed within any floodplains. M, no individual boat docks or boat launching facilities for motorized watercraft shall be permitted. Access of any type to Reynolds Pond, which is not part of this development, shall be strictly prohibited. N, the applicant shall cause to be formed a master homeowners association to be responsible for the perpetual maintenance, repair, and replacement of all streets, roads, buffers, stormwater management facilities, recreational facilities, and other common areas. Prior to the Commission's approval of the site plan for the first phase, the developer will submit for review and approval by the Commission and the County Attorney. Covenants, conditions, and restrictions each lot is to be sold subject to. O, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. P, the applicant will provide agricultural buffers in accordance with all applicable state county requirements. Q, the applicant shall include the agricultural use protection notice specifically referencing the nearby and adjacent agricultural preservation districts within the restricted covenants. In addition, the covenant shall include a similar warning notifying purchasers that hunting occurs on neighboring and adjacent properties, including the Reynolds Pond area. R, bus stop areas shall be located as necessary for the project. The location of these bus stop areas shall be shown on the final site plan for each phase, and the developer shall provide proof that the school's district's transportation manager has approved the bus stop locations. S, in accordance with improvements, in connection with improvements to Route 30, the developer shall pave the shoulders on both sides of the road to ensure safe passage of farming equipment. T, within the network of planned walking and or hiking paths, the developer shall include one trail, which is planned and designed to educate users about the flora, fauna, topography, and history of the area. In planning and constructing this trail, the developer shall consult with DENREC's Department of Fish and Wildlife and Division of Parks and Recreation and the Center for the Inland Bays to receive input as to how to create a meaningful educational experience for trail users. U, site plan review for each phase of development shall be reviewed and approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission. V, the applicant shall provide adequate security for residents of the development, including the establishment of a neighborhood watch with sufficient staff, equipment, and vehicles to coincide with the increased number of occupants for the project, and shall consult with the state police in establishing the neighborhood watch program. W, the applicant shall coordinate with the state and county emergency planning offices to develop an emergency evacuation procedure for the development, which will be incorporated into the restrictions of the development and may require early mandatory evacuation if requested by the state and or county emergency planning offices. X, no site preparation, site disturbance, back excavation or other construction shall be commenced until all permits required by other laws, ordinances, rules and regulations shall have been issued and the approved final site plan is recorded. Lastly, this approval is conditioned upon the developer submitting a revised preliminary site plan containing such changes as required to comply with all the conditions placed upon the approval by council, and the commission shall review and approve the revised preliminary site plan. That concludes the findings and conditions.
Gentlemen, you've heard what Mr. Griffin has read to you. Is there any questions or comments on any of the points that he's made in any of the sections?
I'll second the motion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
First, I'm asking for the motion first. I made the motion. Okay. Is there any questions? I have a question. Is Mr. Griffin, it relates in the document that in various locations of the buffer around Reynolds Pond, is it stated or is that dictated by DENREC? I mean, it's stated at various places through there that there will be a buffer zone, but what will it be? Is it 100 feet? Is it 50 feet? No feet?
Mr. Lank would probably have to explain that. It's shown on the proposed
site plan,
but it was, I believe, the buffers were fairly large in the Reynolds Pond side. I don't have a copy of the plan in front of me.
I don't have a copy of the site plan either, but there is no requirement by code. The minimum would be 30 from agricultural lands. I know that the pond, part of the pond is used for aquaculture purposes, so it may be at least 30 foot, but it's in excess of 30.
I think it was in much more in excess.
Yeah, it was substantially in excess. I just don't have it in front of me.
I think in some areas it was as much as 300 to 500 feet back, if I'm not mistaken, but it was more.
It was varying depths, but it was and it way in excess of 30, I know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Gentlemen, do you have any further questions?
Nope. And I think the setback from Reynolds Pond is probably made larger because there are some areas down there that are forested and some areas that have possibly some wetlands, so they had the setback from that.
Okay, and as you, Mr. Dukes alluded to earlier, gentlemen, that this is a rendering a decision on the an appeal from a site plan review denial of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And we have a motion by Mr. Dukes, second by Mr. Phillips, to approve Isaac's Glen LLC, Reynolds Pond LLC, as is written into the record by our legal counsel, Mr. Griffith, in subdivision appeal number 2005-56. Gentlemen, state your reasons for voting. At this time, I'll call for the vote. Mr. Cole.
I'll vote to support the appeal because I feel that the subdivision is in compliance with the county land use plan or the county ordinance, and it meets the minimal requirements of the county land use plan.
Mr. Cole votes yes. Mr. Phillips.
I vote to support the resolution to grant preliminary approval of Reynolds Pond LLC. We live in a county and a society governed by laws and codes. This subdivision meets or exceeds all the intent of our code, and for that reason, I support it.
Mr. Phillips votes yes. Mr. Jones?
On the last subdivision that came in front of certainly council, I was one of the no votes. I'm sure everybody knows that it's out there. But this particular appeal became in front of the Planning Commission. After looking at the minutes and reviewing everything, I think, as Mr. Phillips and Mr. Cole will say, that they have met all the subdivision ordinances that we have and that we are supposed to enforce. So my vote is yes.
Mr. Jones votes yes. Mr. Dukes?
After listening to the appeal, I feel I must be consistent with the my vote in supporting. I supported the first application. The reason I voted to support it was I felt it met all of our ordinances, which was low density, and by allowing some commercial would keep all the traffic off the road. However, this is not the case. This is on the appeal of the second application that came before us. When the first application was turned down 3-2, it was suggested that the commercial was out of character and the council would look more favorable in an AR1 cluster. We even gave them, and I believe by unanimous vote, to reapply under that scenario if and be allowed to put it at the top of the agenda so that they would not have to wait almost a year for another hearing. Now we're hearing the appeal of P&Z on a similar application, same site, with a few more units and no commercial. As I recall, this is exactly what the council suggested when the first application was denied, but now with a few more units, in my opinion, still meets our ordinances and density requirements. Now, if we set the rules through ordinance and applications abides with the rules, I find it hard to vote against the application just because people say I don't like it, it's out of character, or any of the other opposition's comments. I recall that their attorney stated that 26 out of 29 applications since March have been approved, and 8 of them with higher density. Also, 24 of those were not in the development district. Out of character seems to be out of order since there are 5 new subdivisions within 1 mile. The application has 49% open space, or 361 acres, and are saving 80% of the woodland, which I believe was suggested by Mr. Cole on the first application.
Pardon me?
I think you said that you did not like them taking so many woods down, so many acres of trees.
Okay.
So anyhow, they're now saving 80% of that. Saying it's not in the state's planning area or the development district simply tells me that the state's not going to put any of their money for infrastructure or improvements, but the developer is put on notice that he still has to pay it all. I've never heard being outside the districts or a certain level means a moratorium on any application. As we all know, Judge Strine recently said because someone doesn't like it is no reason to turn it down. So with the 17 findings stated by Mr. Griffin and the 18 conditions into the record, my vote is yes.
Mr. Dukes votes yes. It's been a long sensitive issue since it began on the first application, and I was one of the driving forces of the original size of it. From Reynolds Pond to Isaac's Glen, as it originally came into us as a, I call it, referred to it at that time as a city. It's come a long way from what it was to what it is before us today. The being a property rights advocate, I'm a firm believer that no one can be denied to utilize the equity of their land, and this has been a test case from the very beginning of where those rights would lie and where they would end up. And with the appeal on the site plan review from the original application to today, with the findings of 17 findings and 18 conditions, and I won't belate what my colleagues said, but my feelings are much the same. Legally, we are taking the right step. They have filed the land use plan in the state of Delaware and Sussex County and met all the ordinances on the books. I like the size of the application, but however, being legally bound by the laws of the land and the ordinances that we put forth, my vote would be yes. Motion passed. We will give our guests a couple seconds to get out of the room. We have quite a lengthy agenda, but you're going to make some noise, so you may leave at this time. We'll take about a 30-second pause here for that to happen.
30 seconds.
Come and see us again sometime.
At this time, we will...